Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Dodla Dairy Q2 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thanks, Lizanne. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you all to Q2 FY23 results conference call of Dodla Dairy Limited. We have with us senior management represented by Mr. Sunil Reddy, Managing Director, Mr. B.V.K. Reddy, CEO, and Mr. Anjaneyalu Vanji, CFO. Now I hand over the call to the management for their initial comments on the quarterly and half-yearly performance, and then we will open the floor for question and answer session. Thanks, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Aniruddha. This is Sunil here. Thank you very much once again, Aniruddha, for getting us on the call. Hello, everyone. I welcome you all to our Q2 and half-yearly FY23 earnings conference call, and I hope all of you are doing well. I'm glad to announce that the operating revenues grew by 22.8% year-on-year to 695 crores, supported by a gradual rise in selling prices coupled with the strong demand for milk and value-added products during the festive season. Our milk procurement grew by 11.2% year-on-year to 14.3 lakh liters per day in Q2 FY23. On average, our milk sales also increased by 14.7% year-on-year to almost close to 11 lakh liters per day. The company successfully navigated a lot of sectoral headwinds, including lumpy skin disease outbreak among cattle, which all of you must be aware of, which impacted milk procurement, rise in material and packaging costs, and inflationary trend due to global reasons. The VAP sales have surged by also 19.3% year-on-year to 173 crores during the Q2 of FY23. This is thanks to a strong recall of Dodla brands, which is also because of the strong quality focus that we have on our products. The VAP share of the overall dairy revenue stood at 25.3% in Q2 of FY23. The integration of Sri Krishna Milk is progressing as planned, and we continue to strengthen our footprints in southern Karnataka and Goa markets. Dodla remains committed to strengthening its procurement network in its existing states and continuing to also scout for organic and inorganic opportunities without compromising its existing balance sheet strengths and also looking forward to creating long-term value for the esteemed stakeholders. I would also like to extend my gratitude to all our stakeholders for their continued support of Dodla Dairy vision. We, as you know, have a strong governance framework. Our business model is an end-to-end enterprise, which positively impacts over 1 lakh dairy farmers on one end. On the other end, we ensure health and nutrition to millions of our consumers through our milk and VAP products. Our long-term growth engines and our continual focus on ESG practices and sustainable business model with a balanced ecosystem. With this brief, I'll hand over to CEO, Mr. B.V.K. Reddy, for taking it further. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Very good afternoon to all the participants. We have delivered a healthy quarter showing growth in revenue and other parameters. We are moving towards enhancing our footprints, strengthening our pan-India stance. As on 30th September 2022, we have procured milk around 1.2 dairy farmers daily, of which 88% have provided regular direct payment to the bank accounts. Our direct procurement model has further strengthened, wherein we are buying almost all the milk directly from the farmers across more than 8,000 villages as compared, resulting in cost saving and establishment of deep-rooted relationships with them. Our Orgafeed operations, wherein we have provided high-quality feed to the dairy farmers, help us strengthen these relationships with them and also ensure that both the parties get benefited. Orgafeed revenues stood 28 crores in H1 2023, with EBITDA of approximately 3 crores during the same period. In terms of our presence, we continue to have third highest market presence across 13 states in India, supported by third largest procurement network, 15 processing plants with 22 lakh liters per day capacity. We currently have 113 chilling centers as on 30th September 22. We have around 555 Dodla retail parlors. We also have a strong network, 1,300 milk and milk distributor channel. So we have around 2,700 distribution agents, networks that all are well established in many years of the country. We aim to adopt state-of-the-art dairy processing technology with a focus on automation, which helps us in reducing operational costs and increase efficiencies. We continue to strive for enhancing our footprints and brand visibility with every passing year. And we are making constant efforts to expand our geographical footprints, distribution network, strengthen the brand recognition, and improve our margins to our unmatchable growth in the industry. With that said, I would request our CFO, Ms. Anjan, to give a financial overview of this quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, everyone. I would like to briefly touch upon the key performance parameters for the second quarter of the financial year 2023. We have also submitted a detailed presentation of our financial performance on the stock exchanges, and also we have uploaded the same on our website. Now, taking a glance at the financial highlights for the quarter ended September 30th, 2022, the operating revenues stood at 695 crores for Q2 financial year 2023 compared to 566 crores of Q2 FY22, with a strong growth of 22.8% year over year. The company's domestic business surged by 20.1% year over year to rupees 644 crores, whereas the international business registered a strong growth of 70% year over year to 52 crores for the quarter. EBITDA was at 59 crores in Q2 of FY23 compared to 61 crores in Q2 of FY22. Profit after tax was at 39 crores in Q2 FY23 compared to 29 crores in Q2 FY22, registering a growth of 34% year over year, owing to the decline in the finance cost, rise in other income, coupled with declining in effective tax rates. Earnings per share for Q2 FY23 stood at 6.58 rupees compared to 4.90 rupees in Q2 of FY22. Now, talking about our operational highlights for the quarter ended September 30th, average milk procurement during quarter 2 of FY23 was at 14.3 lakh liters per day as compared to 12.8 lakh liters per day in Q2 of FY22, registering a 11.2% year-over-year growth. Average milk sales during Q2 FY23 were at 10.9 lakh liters per day as compared to 9.5 lakh liters per day in Q1 of FY23. Growing by 14.7% year over year. Curd sales during Q2 FY23 was at 292 metric tons per day as compared to 252 metric tons per day in Q2 FY22, increasing by 16% year over year. Revenue from value-added products, including fat and fat-based products, grew by 19.3% year over year to 173 crores in Q2 of FY23 vis-a-vis 145 crores in Q2 of FY22. VAP, including fat and fat-based products, contributions stood at 25.3% of the overall dairy revenue during the second quarter of FY23 as compared to 26% contribution of the overall dairy revenue during the same period last year. That concludes our update on the financial strategy, which we believe have been positive in most of the aspects. With that being said, we would now like to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Ramesh from Smart Investment Solutions. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Actually, good afternoon. I have seen the investor presentation. It is very good, actually. You have improved quarter on quarter. Am I audible?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, yes. So I have a couple of questions. When I see quarter on quarter, your Q1 versus Q2, you have improved your gross margin on a standalone basis. Is it something specific you have done, or it is based on procurement price reduction or something happened?
It's actually a lot of effort that goes there on specific things that have been done. So selling price has moved up, and commensurately we kept our procurement prices almost on a even keel. So the earlier quarters when our procurement prices had gone up, our selling prices didn't move up. There's always a time lag of what happened. So second quarter we got the benefit of the full price increases that happened. So that's the reason the gross margin shows an improvement, which is shown in the EBITDA improving.
And is there any flush concept coming this year? Because last couple of years we were not having any flush in dairy industry. So do we have some flush this year?
This year also we won't see any flusher, because it's not only that, because also we have, as you've seen, the growth in terms of volume has also been high. If you compare it to pre-COVID, it's caught up with more than pre-COVID, let's say with a 15% more. So I guess whatever was subdued earlier by the farmers, we'll take another year for it to catch up to come to the flush. So this year we don't see a flush.
Okay. And for my record keeping, can you just share the procurement price per in quarter and selling price per quarter for milk, liquid milk?
Quarter for the current quarter, sir?
Q2, yes.
Q2, yeah. Anjan will just give you the Q2 procurement and selling prices. Go ahead, standalone.
Yeah. So the procurement prices for the Q2 FY23 stood at 35 rupees per liter. It is procurement, not the consumption. So per liter of procurement. And coming to the sale,
52.90.
So we have 52 rupees 90 prices net sales realization.
This is only for liquid milk or entire your product base?
All the whole mixer.
Whole mixer.
It is whole mixer.
Yeah, whole mixer. Okay. And one small question. I was hearing Heritage Call also previously. So they were saying some BMCM mix, they use 25-75%. What mix we use, sir, in our...
Buffalo and cow mixer. 1 minute. BBK will answer the buffalo and cow mix.
Yeah, we have only 5% buffalo. Balance 95% is cows.
Okay, is this because our geography, what we are catering, is different compared to Heritage, or is it?
Because where we are selling, in Karnataka, our quantity, 40% of the quantity, sales quantity is coming from Karnataka. Karnataka predominantly is a cow's milk sales.
Fine. Okay. In last quarter also, we'll be in the same BMCM ratio, or is it something we were changing consciously quarter on quarter to improve our margins? Because I understand buffalo is costlier than cow.
No, almost all same.
It's almost a 95.5, but consciously earlier itself we have corrected and now we are carrying cow.
So because see, the buffalo is costly also, because Heritage is selling more milk in Hyderabad, the MRPs are very high.
Okay, sir. Okay, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Hi, thank you, sir. If anything is there, I'll join the queue again. Thank you. Thank you so much for answering.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Resha Mehta from Green Edge Wealth Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congrats on a good set of numbers and also on your Silver Jubilee year. So, firstly, I wanted to understand that in your annual report, you've spoken about, having... Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, ma'am.
Yeah, you've spoken about having agents and distributors. So what are these two different distribution models between agents and distributors, and which model is adopted in which, let's say, urban, rural, and if you could just expand a little bit on this? That's the first question.
Yeah. So thank you very much for your good wishes, Resham. Basically, the difference is between agent and a distributor. Agent is somebody where he is a retailer himself and we directly deliver to him as a company and he delivers it to the customers. Whereas a distributor is somewhere we give it to him as any other FMCG distributor. We demarcate a larger area and give it to him and he takes care of the secondary transportation and distributing it to the consumers itself. And we have another model which is DRPs, which basically are company-owned, franchisee-operated retail outlets. These are three broad distribution methodologies that we adopt.
All right. So rural would essentially see the distributor model, right?
Yeah, majority of the smaller B and C class towns where we have almost a substantially large market share and we are very strong. We have now we've got distributors and we control our sales through our distributors.
Got it. And secondly, if you could just talk about what is your revenue from, B2C and Horeca, these two channels?
Majority of ours is B2C. You know, I mean, some of the things maybe where we don't have our own direct control through the distributor might go to a few of the tea shops, but we are predominantly B2C, which was demonstrated during COVID, that we didn't see a much of a drop.
This is the D2C. Yeah.
Okay, and so Horeca would be negligible. Is that understanding correct?
Yeah.
Right. And even within the southern states, if you could just break up your sales between metros, tier 1, tier 2 towns, or would it largely be metros?
No, it will be almost, let's say, metros will be a smaller, comparatively, it should be around 30% metros. I don't have the specific numbers, but 30%, 35% metros compared to 60, 65% of non-metros. That will be a rough range.
Yeah, it is right. Got it.
And on your operating costs, right? So when I look at your annual report, right? So your ad spends are very negligible. They are just 0.3% of your net sales. So can you just talk a little bit about how do you think about marketing? What are the budgets like? How much would be ATL? How much would be trade promotions? Can you just expand on this?
Yeah, so basically I also think it's a question of how do you look at the ad spend cost that we normally take. Now for us, the ad spend costs are very direct in terms of what we do in terms of outdoor visibility and painting and ads, that kind of thing. The other spends which we have, we reduce it from our cost, whatever we give a straight promos and all that, we do not consider it as a part of the ad spend. In the dairy industry, the ad spend is very visible with our regular moving media point of sale spend is what we do. So we're very cautious in what we do as our ad spend, because although we do a large spend, but the availability is not there. It doesn't seem to be very effective for us. So that way we do a lot of localized ads and we do it very cost consciously. That is the reason why their ad spend is low.
Right. So when you say this localized marketing, right, so below the line, right, so what would be the quantum of these trade promotions as a percentage of net sales? I understand that when you report these numbers, they are netted off from your top line. But if you could just talk about
that. Also be very small. It should be only 0.2, 0.3% at the most that we give it as other than at the point of sale promos that happen, nothing more.
Right. So basically, above the line, below the line, all put together would be less than 1% of top line, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And also, if I look at the freight outwards line item, in your operating other expenses, right? So that's almost 8% of your net sales, which is almost 2x that of, the other two listed dairy companies in the south. So, is there, some issue of reclassification of expenses that is why this number is looking, very big, almost 2x that of our other two companies? Or is this that structurally our freight, costs have been higher?
So basically, it also depends on how reclassification can happen, ma'am. Some of them will not consider fuel as a part of it and give fuel more as a reimbursement to the petrol pumps, and I don't know where they book it at. Some of them will be booking, we book the whole lot of fuel, whatever, all under outward, freight outward. So that's why if you look at all the costs put together, we'll invariably be in the same benchmark.
So CF Anjan here, so that's why you also see the same level, the gross profit very, very much when you compare the gross margin itself to our piece also. It is basically the way of booking. Sometimes based upon the agreements, as per the revenue recognition principle, sometimes they have to book it on the top line, and some agreements require us to book it in other expenses.
Right. Okay. And what would
but
be your
annual? Good question.
Yeah. So what would be your annual capex plans, and what's your maintenance capex number?
So annual capex plans for us, we broadly can look at it as procurement, which will be one which will have the 15-20 crores of every year that we keep spending. For the current year, we have taken a budget of almost say 90 to 95 crores of capex, out of which we have already spent around 66. This was majorly what we did was we had another plant called Parmul, which we have updated and made it to on par. And we're spending a bit on going into being more environmentally friendly and going for solar power in all the plants and trying to maximize solar wherever we can. And that's major expense that we have done.
Right. So this 90 crores would also include your maintenance capex?
Maintenance capex also, yes. So invariably it would be around 50-60 crores of maintenance capex and chilling centers normally if you look at the years going forward, because every year if we take a lakh and a half of volume that is added in sale, we have to add and we have some kind of number in the back end of procurement also to keep matching the growth of sales. So that will be our constant expenditure in terms of capex, and maintenance capex will be maybe 10 crores at the most for all the 14-15 plants put together.
Right.
So maintenance capex will be 10 to 15 crores. Remaining things is either expansion in procurement and our distribution networks.
Sure. And any guidance that you would like to provide for capex for the next, let's say, 2-3 years, broadly?
Other than mergers and if you do any acquisitions or major capex plan, we will be in the same 30 to 40 crores at the most of expansion.
Got it.
Regular capex.
Lastly, just one data question. So there's this Q1. So if you could just share the selling price for Q1 FY23.
Market sales realization was 90 paisa per liter. So that is standalone.
Okay.
That is for the standalone.
Yeah. Okay. That's it from my side. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Sameer Gupta from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir, and thanks for taking my question. Just one from my side. So just wanted to understand your outlook on margins. So right now it is around 8.5%. There is a lumpy skin disease which has gone, unseasonal rains this quarter, and as you rightly pointed out, under investments by dairy farmers, so there is an expectation of a tepid flush. You have already taken large price hikes and passed it on to consumers. So technically, is this understanding correct that at least for this season, where you are not expecting a great flush, EBITDA margin should only trend downward over the next few quarters from the current level?
More than downward, sir, I think if we are actively involved in managing it, we can manage to keep it at the same trends that we are now. Maybe a little bit of, you know, that 1 month more of price differential might happen if procurement again increases dramatically to see where we can pass on. But tentatively, we can keep these margins at these levels at the moment.
And any guidance?
Medium term would be the same. As I said, current margins will continue to be going forward the same. Maybe a 0.5% plus or minus that can happen. Current term, especially for us, that's what we are looking at. And the next year onwards, if the productivity increases and the milk procurement prices come down, we will see reasonably good margin improvements.
Got it, sir. Thanks. That's all from me.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Abhishek Maheshwari from Skyridge Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good numbers. So just a follow-up on previous participants' question. So you've already mentioned that the flush season will be tepid. In North, we are already hearing about, shortages and lack of availability. So in South, in your geographies, are you facing any procurement issues?
Well, procurement issues meaning there is, demand is higher than production, therefore the prices have gone up and are maintaining there. This normally should get corrected by the next monsoons because of higher production, higher prices will normally get the farmer's interest back and productivity should increase and come back. Because in the animal cycles, things take at least 6 to 9 months for animals to calve and production to increase and better feeding systems coming into place. So that is how it will be that in the South, I think we'll still continue the same trends of matching our input and output. Then we'll have to look at it next season, how it takes forward from there, sir.
Okay. And secondly, the peers, the larger peers, I would say, like Amul, Mother Dairy and all, they're still hiking their prices. Are you also able to do that in your geographies or we are maintaining that previous quarter?
So we also keep continuing to increase the prices and correcting and fine-tuning the prices as and when required. So that there's a procurement increase, we do increase the prices proportionately and keep going. But we're also cautious not to outprice it from comparative, to say market to let people have a shortfall in growth. It's very easy to increase price, but it's a tight balance between growth and margin with price increase. So we very cautiously do that and keeping in view even growth not to get injured.
Okay. So, sir, say, in the sense, if procurement prices are increasing, is there a set off from the fall in other raw material prices? For instance, packaging costs have started to come down, again. And what is the cattle feed prices like right now?
So, I maybe will answer that, sir, but from my broad view, the price corrections, given the uncertainty, yes, has tapered off a bit, but I don't think it will be dramatic. But DVK will answer it more in detail.
Yeah, yeah. See, the feed also now slightly last 3-4 months, the raw material, the grains and all gone up, but now slightly now it is coming down.
Okay, and packaging costs?
Packaging costs also slightly has come down. First quarter to second quarter. So the packaging material cost also has come down. First quarter it was slightly higher side and second quarter is now is that is down.
Okay.
So this we don't think will come down dramatically, sir, but it will, they are keeping in view that assuming the same status quo is maintained, that is what we are saying, margins also will be the same status quo.
Yeah, overall, see, procurement, enough correction is already been done. So the sales price correction also now, see, keep on doing as and when it is required. So mostly it is done. I think it will become a stable now.
Okay. And one last question. Any price hikes are we planning in Q3 also or, you will decide when it's time?
When it's time. So normally what we do is there will be slight correction which only will benefit the company's pricing structure as we go forward. And also taking a mix of both products and price, I think it will maintain status quo. We are confident that it will maintain status quo comfortably.
Yeah, comfortably. This third quarter, nothing will happen. Let us see after even Pongal, maybe in the month of February, March.
Okay. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Kamath from Fintrich Capital. Please go ahead.
Okay. Sir, my first question is on the outlook on this business going ahead. What is the aspiration growth are you looking for this business?
So, Rohan, basically, if you look at us historically, we've been growing by 10-11% by volume and around 15% by value. I think in the short-term basis, we think we can continue with that kind of a trajectory for the next 2-3 years at least. So that will be our immediate short-term 2-3 years goal. And as we go beyond that, as a normal global scenario, dairy companies normally tend to go into becoming a food company in the longer term because we have the network of ability of placement of products and other items. Even if you compare Amul in India, so they have gone into a whole host of other products like chocolates also. I think we are following the same path that we still have a lot more room to grow in milk for the short term of 2-3 years and later will be multiple products of food can also come into play.
Great, sir. And sir, on the capex side, what are the our capex expectations for financial 24 and financial 25?
Subject to not getting the good opportunity in terms of M&A, we have regular capex to the tune of around 40 to 50 crores, out of which 20 to 25 crores will go to procurement and 15 crores for regular maintenance of capex. We still are identifying the opportunity to go into Kenya, which we have already announced earlier, as and when we get there, because Africa normally takes time. That will be one which we'll have, can be to the tune between 25 to 30 crores there. And if it is an acquisition opportunity in India, we'll have to wait and watch. So we will only wait and see if we get a good opportunity. If we do get an opportunity, we will go there. So nothing more than that majorly. And maybe if we come to a greenfield also, it will take another 2 years to basically start and complete a greenfield. We have already announced our earlier cattle feed that we are spending our 40 crores, which we have spent 20 crores already, and that should be done by the now 10 crores. So not much, 50, 60 crores maybe, subject to acquisition.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Aejas Lakhani from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Mr. Reddy, just one question. Hello?
Mr. Reddy, one quick question.
You mentioned about productivity increases and mince procurement prices coming down to 24. So what I'm looking to learn is, do you have any levers in the short run?
Members of the management team, there's a lot of disturbance from your line.
Is it still there, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
How about it now? Are you able to hear it clearly?
This is a little better, sir.
Should I repeat the question or?
Could you repeat the question, Lakhani, sir?
Sir, just want to check that, you know, you mentioned that levers for the coming years would be productivity increases by farmers and milk procurement prices coming down. So a quick check here is, do you have any levers to accelerate, you know, your volume growth from the existing 10-12% to slightly more higher levels in the short duration? And if yes, what are those, you know, drivers?
So basically, sir, when you look at it in terms of the sales and procurement, we have actually been well geared up for a larger procurement volume, saying that we, you know, we were net buyers of milk powder, where we wouldn't be there and we would be having our own milk procurement network and increase in our sales. But presently, because of the lower volumes, that network is still not fully utilized. We are confident that as we go forward, the levers are already in place for the procurement to absorb a larger volume in terms of when we grow forward, which we are confident will happen in 24. And in terms of sales also, there's been a lot of work that we have done regarding our ERPs and, you know, streamlining our sales and distribution process. So the levers are in place. We're just trying to match. So we are cautious of both in terms of the growth and the profitability. So we have to be very careful about both input and output. So it won't be a substantial large change in number of growth, but it will be a measured growth between that 15 to 17% by volume, by value, and 10 to 12% by volume. Because you have to balance both the input and the output to maintain even the bottom line as much as the top line.
Got it. But sir, is it fair to say that, you know, you're choosing to not accelerate the pedal on volume growth because the prices of procurement are slightly higher, and the minute it starts to taper down, you could sort of just accelerate the volume growth, and, you know, that could help even on a margin front in, say, 24 as we look forward?
So actually, even if the price gets corrected by even a rupee or two in terms of procurement, that itself will accelerate the margin growth, because even if I take a conservative, let's say 13, 14 lakh liters of India standalone sale, if you look at it also, that gives around 28 to lakh rupees per day as a profitability improvement. And the profitability goes through the roof. So we, at that point of time, we also have to ensure that we will also keep making sure that our sales are doing well, obviously. But keeping a longer term view, we have to be careful about both the prices, the procurement and the selling. So, for example, if Tamil Nadu prices really crash, there is no point in me just picking up milk in Tamil Nadu, because I have to transport it to, let's say, my North Andhra Pradesh market. So we try to keep that synergy of input and output prices matching, so that even when there is a fluctuation, we are sort of stable. We don't want to be caught in a back foot. Potential is there, yes, for growth. we will continue to move it forward. When we get better margins, we are more aggressive in trying to do placement into other areas also. So that way it does help us. We will grow forward a little more aggressively when it comes to the year when it's good.
Got it. And sir, is this a fair statement to make that the gross profit, you know, per liter from a spread perspective, is at the levels what it was in 2Q FY22? Because, you know, last year was far more favorable year. This year is a tougher year, but despite that, the gross profit is per liter on milk is relatively same.
Yes, sir, because this is we are maintaining the relatively same because the selling price increase we have been able to compensate along with our procurement price increase. So that is what we are saying, that this is a procurement price are always coming up to the all-time high. We have never had these high prices average, which are coming up to the all-time high, which in my view will get the farmers to be more interested, more production will come, more efficient production will come, which will taper down the procurement prices, therefore leading to our market margin expansion.
Got it, sir. Thanks, Atal. All the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarak Mehta from Kotak Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sir, I'm just new to the company. Just want to explore what are the cash balance that we have on September 8th?
Tarak, Anjan, the CFO, will give you the exact numbers. Go ahead, Anjan.
So overall, we have a cash balance of 300 and... ₹340 crores in terms of overall cash balance that we have. So that is for the farmer payments that we place around 40 to 50 crores on first. So net net we will have around 300 crores cash balance as of 30th September.
Great. Sir, I can see some finance cost during the quarter of 3 lakhs rupees.
Yeah, that is an Ind AS 116 adjustment. So for long-term leases, you have to convert that. Under one in days 116, that is not actual finance cost.
Perfect. Sure. One more thing, sir. We are currently focusing on Karnataka. Can you just explore more in case we want to go for pan India growth? What are the levers to see forward, and what can be the strategy?
So basically, normally we try to see as far as possible if we get contiguous growth. For example, Orissa is contiguous to us now because we have almost reached all the parts of northern Andhra. And Orissa does add to us to be one of our contiguous growth plans. Maharashtra is available for us. We're doing procurement there. So slowly we will have to enter into marketing in Maharashtra. But we're also open for other acquisitions that come up subject to return on capital being healthy based on whatever we can do locally. So immediately we look at contiguous advantages. If we get opportunities, we are okay as long as return on capital is good.
Okay, okay. Sure, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amrish Kumar from GSP Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, I just wanted to understand how does the transmission of external factors into procurement prices happen so quickly? I mean, what are the forces there? I mean, how many buyers are there in, say, a particular village along with you so that these external factors are so quickly transmitted?
Basically, we will have at least 3 to 4 companies and one cooperative or 2 or 3 private sectors in every village that we go and procure. 4 to 5 at least will be there. So the transmission does not happen more than the outside price. I think it's a supply-demand issue that majorly happens. So in the hurry, somebody who is having a shortage will try to increase their price, hoping that they'll get a little more. Is one of the way to look at it. The other way that companies also look at it is coming from a farmer's point of view. For example, if the cattle fight prices are going up, the farmer also has to get that price increase because 50% of the cost for a farmer will be the feed that he incurs. So the thumb rule is normally cattle feed prices increasing will add on to the farmer's thing of milk prices increasing. And for us, the other things that add is our own cost of freight or transport, which can add fuel prices increase. So that's how the transmission happens very quickly, because even for us or the farmer, this is a daily business, right? Profit and loss can be seen every 10th day or the 20th day. The farmer is losing money. He will feel the pinch immediately. So that is why the transmission happens quicker.
Okay. So related question would be, so as I understand your answer, you take into view the farmer's profitability in mind and adjust your prices accordingly.
Yeah, because basically the farmer viability has also happens to be a core. We can't just squeeze him out of his business so that he always, if he gets rid of the animals, to get an animal back into cycle takes almost 2 to 3 years.
Got it, sir. And so what is the farmer stickiness with you in these circumstances? Can you just
the farmer stickiness has been good, sir, for the past 25 years. If you look at it, I mean, there will be a little bit of fluctuation here and there, but I think it has been reasonable. We can say 70-80% of our farmers continue to stay with us.
Okay. Got it, sir. So that was my question. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Pranjal Garg from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, my first question is regarding, can you help with the update on Shri Krishna Milk? How was the performance of the business during the quarter, revenue and margins?
Yes, Shri Krishna has done well. Anjan will give you the specifics of what the numbers are.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, thank you, sir. So, on the Shri Krishna Milk, so for this quarter ended Q2 FY22, we have made a sales of around 36,000 liters per day with a net revenue of 17.6 crores for the quarter and an EBITDA of around 3.8%. And in terms of YTD, we have made around EBITDA of 81 lakhs from Shri Krishna. So with an LPD of 34,000 liters, we generated 30.3 crores in terms of net revenue.
Okay. Okay. Sir, next is also a little bit of bookkeeping question. Just wanted to understand your territory-wise revenue and procurement mix for the quarter.
Could you repeat the question, sir?
I wanted to understand your territory-wise revenue and procurement mix.
Territory-wise revenue and procurement. Okay. So we will normally give it to you broadly as state-wise that we normally have with us, sir. We'll give that, that'll be okay, I guess, right? Yeah, state-wise, Anjan will just give you the state-wise procurement and sales realization.
So coming to the states, for quarter two of FY23, so from AP, we have sold around 4,42,000 liters per day, and Karnataka around 5.3 lakh liters per day. In Tamil Nadu, we have sold 2,10,000 liters per day, and from Telangana, around 1.3 lakh liters per day. So overall, this is for Indian business. So that is the territory-wise sales in terms of volume. And coming to the procurement for Q2 FY23, so from AP, we have procured around 4.8 lakh liters per day. And Karnataka 2.7 lakh liters per day, and Tamil Nadu around 4.4 lakh liters, Telangana around 40,000 liters, and Maharashtra around 1.1 lakh liters per day in India.
Thank you, sir. So that's very helpful. Sir, what has been our exact price hikes during the quarter, and what has been the impact of inflation on the consumer demand for dairy products?
So the price hike, we have almost got a rupee, and from quarter to quarter, I think we've got almost close to a rupee plus price hike, sir, whereas the procurement has been almost static. From a consumer demand point of view, I think milk will be the last. Like I keep repeating and saying that milk being an essential commodity, people do look forward to it, and our price hikes, if you compare with the other inflation, the impact on the household budget will normally be to the tune of, even if it is 1 liter, if there is a rupee or two increase, that comes to the 50 rupees, 60 rupees increases, between the 30 to 60 rupees increase, which consumers are able to take in their stride. So I think the consumer impact of food will be the last in the food to get impacted. They will rather sacrifice, hopefully, on the other sources of expensive food is what we look at, sir. That is from the impact point of view. The exact price increase, Ajay will just tell you now, sir, for quarter on quarter.
So if I go year on year basis, the sales and net realization, the sales revenue per liter. So last year, for this quarter, Q2, we have a net realization of 49.36 rupees. Whereas this year, we have a net realization of 52 rupees, 75 paisa. So around 3 rupee 40 paisa is where the net improvement year on year. And quarter on quarter, last quarter we had a net realization around 51 rupee 78 paisa at a console. It is at a console level, not a standalone. Compared to last quarter, 51 rupee 78 paisa to 52 rupee 75 paisa, around a rupee increase from the last quarter.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. And so my last question is regarding the performance of Africa business, that we have seen a good growth in that business as well during the quarter. So what are the primary growth drivers there and what is your outlook for the business? Thank you, sir.
So Africa has always been good, and Arjun will give you the breakup of details, sir. So Africa also, like India, we have that little bit of the price fluctuation depending on the seasonality. Compared to last year, this year is doing much better. And Anjan will give you the specs of, you know, what was as a comparison between last year to this year in terms of the improvement that we had. So, and guidance for that, it will be that this year will be a much better year than last year in terms of both top line and bottom line. Continuing with the same half yearly trend, I think it will be going forward also, it will continue the same trend. Anjan, can you give the specifics, please?
Yeah, so coming to the quarter, so this quarter we have around 93,000 liters per day in terms of volume from our African operations. We generated a revenue of around 52 crores and an EBITDA margin of 13% for this quarter. Coming to year-over-year comparison, the volume improved from 63,000 to 93,000, which is a 47% volume improvement, and revenue improved from on a year-on-year basis, 30.5 crores to 52 crores, which is a 70% improvement in terms of revenue.
Thank you so much, sir. That was my question. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is from the line of Anil Joshi from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Three questions.
Sorry to interrupt, members of the management team.
Just on this one minute.
Yes.
Not at our end, man. Somebody's phone, I think, there.
Anirudh, the disturbances from your line.
Last question and go on note. Three questions.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Anirudh. We are not able to hear you. I'll disconnect your line and reconnect you. Give me a minute.
You are not clear.
Yes, sir. Give me a minute. I'm just connecting Anirudh. So we have the line for Anirudh reconnected. Anirudh, please proceed.
Yeah, sir, three questions. How do you see the ice cream business panning out? Then secondly, we had also introduced Dodla Plus Premium Milk. So any update on that? Second question, how is cattle feed business doing? Any growth plan that you can indicate, 3-year, 5-year growth plan that you can indicate for cattle business, as well as CapEx plans here? And lastly, the third question is, how do you see the global SMP prices situation now? Do you see any structural downtrend in the global SMP prices? Yeah.
So three questions regarding ice cream, cattle feed future and global S&P. I just say global S&P prices seem to be cooling off, and BBK will give this thing of what we expect the cattle feed in the short term, or let's say the 2 or 3 year period, what size we think we'll get there. And the capital was also 30, 40 crores that we're looking at deploying. And ice cream and other milk, BBK will just give you those specs.
Yeah. And see, the cattle feed, you know, this half yearly we have run 28 crores top line and roughly about 9.5-10% EBITDA. And this year, now we are as per the target, so we will achieve 100% in the cattle feed. And also, we are putting up another cattle feed plant, you know, sitting in the middle. By March, you know, we will be commencing the new cattle feed plant. So that you know, that is as per the plan. Now it is going ahead. And I think, you know, cattle feed, we are hoping that, you know, we'll get a
I think the total capacity installed for the old, existing one and the new one will be the equivalent.
Yeah, existing one only 2,000 ton capacity, that 100% we are doing now. And the new cattle feed plant now putting up 12,000 ton capacity. So that will be, you know, will be ready by only in the month of March or April.
So with the 2,000 capacity, we have done around 28 to 30 crores for the half year.
Yeah.
So it will be the 60 crore, and you can extrapolate from the 12,000 ton capacity over a period of 3 years where we'll be going into the. Regarding ice cream and dairy plus milk variant, I think milk variants we keep trying. Ice cream, BBK will again give you a brief idea about what ice cream we are doing and where do we think we can go with ice cream. Sir.
So ice cream, I think this year we have done fairly, compared to last year we have done around 3,000 liters per day ice cream sales, and roughly about turnover almost is.
So last year, compared to contract quarter, so last year we have sold around 1,800 liters per day. So this year for the same period, we were selling around 3,000 liters per day. So almost double the volume. In terms of revenue generated, around 2.7 crores is what revenue generated from the ice creams, and this year we have made 4.4 crores in terms of revenue.
So it will not be something substantially large, Anirudha, but it will keep improving year on year.
Okay, sure, sure, sir. Thanks. How do we see about the Dodla Plus premium milk that we had introduced? Yeah, that's it from my side. Thanks.
Plus, you know, it is not that it is there only, Dodla Plus in Africa.
So we are trying to, you know, wherever we have other brands, we also try to keep pushing Dodla and seeing how the offtake is. If the Dodla brand improves, then we can start to wean off other brands.
Here, you know, we have only Dairy Top is one brand. So we started co-packing in Kenya. From Kenya, we started in a Dodla Plus. That is a small quantity. And also we are doing even from Uganda also now started the second brand as a Dodla Plus. It is picking up, not in India much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anirudha.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hanumanta Rao, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, madam. And congratulations, compliment the management team for the good numbers. I have two, three questions. One is, what is the general market share, average market share in your operating area? And the second one is, what is your IT spend for the day-to-day back information retrievals and various services? Third one
so
is...
market share... Sorry,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Third question is, that how do you incentivize the farmers for retaining them, continuity with them, like advances or something like that? This. And the fourth one is a third business. Please elaborate these three processes.
Yes, sir. So I'll curd and IT spend, Anjan will be giving you, sir. Basically, our normally market we take an average, we will be now 7% of the share market share in the areas where we are operating. That is our numbers which we have computed. That is what our numbers indicate to us, sir.
Are there any incremental from year to year, or what is your further plan for the future years? For indicate 7 to 10% or like that.
See, basically, the increment does happen, sir, because national statistics says that there's a 3-4% growth by volume in terms of general consumption. So if that itself is there, we have to, the 7% itself indicates a certain amount of growth. And we also add, maybe our market share previous years to year has been growing by the 0.5% overall as market share has been increasing for us, other than the growth. Compared to that, and when we look at the incentives to farmers, I think in the present days, the farmers are more happy with the service that is provided in terms of prompt payment. Now we have eliminated the middlemen and they get clarity of what milk we are giving them the facility of cattle feed being door delivered. And as we go on adding, we try to make it more convenient for them to do dairy business or farming, dairy farming, rather than then having to run around for 10 people. So today when we are paying all our farmers directly into the bank account without any middlemen, based on the quality which is automated and comes to the company when we keep verifying. So those eliminations are keeping the farmers more comfortable with us. Now regarding the IT spend, and the IT spend normally I think is averaging around 2 to 3 crores because not considering the hardware that we have to spend a bit on the hardware where we call as a testing equipment for each village that we enter into. And other than that, we have our own in-house, like when you're doing our SAP, upgradation, security, all those things that keep happening. Those are the two major areas of our...
So apart from the general IT expenditure, we see 3 crores on the improvements or the programs for automation. That is what we normally spend on budgeted for.
Okay.
So that is how we spend on. Apart from that, we have regular IT expenditures, everything going on as per the planned budget. So this is for the improvements and for automations in the IT projects for the SAP developments that we spend on.
And also because our IT is one of our key enablers. Right now when we look at it, every day that 8,000 villages, lack our farmers, we are now on a daily basis, we monitor what they're getting, is there any variation, and the whole process being automated with thanks to GST now coming in, invoices have to be generated live and the whole thing, so that upgradation has been happening, sir. And coming to curd, I think we had an improvement in our curd volume compared to last year, we have been improved. So Anjan will give the specific of the curd volume.
So little more specific about the curd business, sir. Is it a substantial
business? Curd volume and specific, Anjan will give you, sir.
Yes,
please. In terms of curd sales, as we discussed earlier also, Q2 FY23, we have sold around 92 metric tons per day. Compared to last year over year, we have 252 metric tons per day, so it is a 16% year-over-year improvement. Coming to the revenue generated from the curd sales, so this quarter we have generated a revenue of 125 crores from curd sales, with an average EBITDA margin hovering around 15 to 16%.
Okay, thanks sir. That's all for me from my side.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
So thank you everyone for joining the call of Dodla Dairy for the second quarter. We really appreciate you spending time with us. If there's any other queries, we have our email ID on the investor presentation. Please do reach out to us and we'll get back to you. Thank you so much for sparing time with us. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.